For the next session, the song, would you have you loaded the song?
Oh, I haven't. Usually I don't want to do that.
Okay.
Good morning, good to see everyone.
There is one song that we cannot find
off
the
every
music sheet, so we're going to Man Hunger,
praise the Lord,
we might change it to When Jesus Touches My Heart. But we cannot find Samuel because he is the one who's supposed to lead.
Okay.
And so we're all just
want to
give you a heads up.
Okay.
Long time ago. Anyway, just praise the Lord to see that. Many younger generations coming up. I'd like to use this passage to encourage all of us together in the beginning of the new year. Be strengthened in the Lord. That's all I had to start with. Father God, we thank you so much for this morning, even though outside it was filled with snow and cold, but inside it was the warmth of your love. And we just pray that, Lord, you will bless us with your word. Help us to be encouraged in your word. Not only that, to find strength in you. And we ask that, Lord, your Holy Spirit continue to move on it. Help us to be strong and be faithful for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, of course, I still have to say this is not too late to say Happy New Year to all of you. I remember when I watched the crystal ball falling down in the New York Square, and now everybody is so excited to begin the new year. And new year normally represents a new beginning, and because of the new beginning, so we all have new resolutions, right? Right? We have new resolutions. No? Some of us, yes, some of us, no. I don't know.
No, it's fine out there. Internally, it's the problem. See, it's fine out there. It's just the inside speaker.
Well, I think
it's doing well.
It's just,
My ears swinging all over. Anyway, so then after the third week,
too loud,
seems to subside. And but you know, new beginning,
so
a new
getting it from the inside.
And not only that, with the new year, we have new challenge coming our way. As we are planning for a new year, of course, we will see. We'll probably foresee something. Maybe some of us. Probably need to prepare for college, or maybe need to provide a new job or a different situation. There are some new challenges. Of course, this is maybe a good thing, but sometimes as we are crossing over to a new year, coming to a new year, we find some unresolved issues, or, you know, last year we had some burden that may be carried on over to this year. I mean, sometimes it is too innocent to say that, well, everything's new, but then actually we have to recognize we have some burden that carried over from the previous year. So, with all these things, we have to recognize we do need strength in the new year. We need strength in the new year that is besides the new Lord and to be re-energized and ready for another fresh start. We do need that. So, that's why I chose this passage and I think it fits for this many of you know that many things happened already in the first month of this year. And of course, one of them would be the passing of our pastor, Humphrey. We all know them. And we miss him, and we know that he's in a better place. And he's been encouragement to all of us. I mean, 99 years old, only 3 more months to be 100 years old. But you know, according to Chinese tradition, he's already over 100 years old anyway. So that's a blessing.
It's flickering.
But of course, we would continue to pray for the family. And oh, by the way, next week, 23rd, it will be on Emmanuel Baptist Church, 2 o'clock, for the memorial service. So just come. And so, anyway, in the beginning of the year, we do have some family, probably they are suffering from the wall because of the challenge. So how do we cope with these new challenges and the burden that we have, or the issues that we have carried over from the past? How do we find strength in the Lord? I think we all need that in the beginning of the year. How do we do that? So, in the passage that we read this morning, of course, I would probably encourage you to go home and read a couple chapters before that, how, you know, in the Samuel, right at the end of the first Samuel, where David was actually hiding from Saul, and he ended up going to Philistine's place. Philistine, enemy's place. Not only that, he was fighting for the Philistines. Of course, he never engaged battle with the Israelites, but, you know, he was fighting for Achish, the king, one of the kings of the Philistines. And, you know, I don't know how you feel. I mean, if I were David, I mean, it's not really a super situation, right? It is not a really glorious situation. You're running away from your own people, and you're hiding in your enemy's place, and it's not really a great place to stay. But at that moment, you did not have any choice. So right before this passage in the end of 1 Samuel, then it comes to a time that the Philistines will, they were planning to fight with Saul. And the rest of the Philistine kings, they realized that David was among them. So let's see what happened. The Philistine was about to wage war with Philistine, with Paul. But Achish, although he liked David very much, but he told David that, well, you probably should not come with us. Said that, I know that you have been pleasing in my eyes as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the Philistine commander said he must not go up with us in this battle. So, David was not invited in this battle. So what happened? David should be happy, right? I mean, who wants to see, I mean, yourself fighting against your own country? It's not a good thing. So David was very happy, I think, from my point of view, that David and his men, they were very happy. Maybe he thought that I'm just out of trouble. But lo and behold, he's actually going into another trouble. Because as David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day, now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captives of women and all who were in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. So, it's not a pretty picture. I mean, you thought, oh, finally I can go home now. But by the time you get home, you lost everything. It's horrible. It's horrible. And for David and his men, I cannot imagine the warriors. They are fighters. And the Bible describes them, they wept aloud until they have no strength left to eat. Can you imagine the situation? Have you been in a situation that, you know, you lost so much that you don't even have strength to cry about it? Maybe man never cried so much, right? maybe not. But, you know, this is a dire situation for David and his men. Now, I need to stop a little bit. For this coming new year, what is troubling you? What are the things that are troubling you? Maybe Albania? The weird weather, you know, supposed to be really cold, but suddenly become warm, and maybe unpredictable weather, I don't know. Maybe the economy. You know, the oil is really cheap, or maybe it's good, but, you know, other than that, you know, it's pretty challenging. Maybe the job situation, like Walmart is closing 100 over stores, and who knows what's happening next. So it's really volatile, the situation. And how about leadership? So, presidential election is coming up soon, and if that, I don't know, if according to the trend now, maybe we will have the women as our president, I don't know, but Taiwan will have that, right? so, I don't know, whether, and we just pray that Lord will bless our nation and his leadership, but do we have a trustworthy candidate?
It's like a curse.
Something that we need to pray or struggle about. Or maybe if we, when we look around the United States, we don't find a very safe place to live anymore. And you don't have to stay very far away. We've heard gun shooting very far away, but actually even in Johnson County, we've heard some robberies and, you know, gun shooting. It's not really as safe as we thought it was before. So, and maybe some of us may be facing family crisis. You used to think that family should be the safe haven for children, but now if we look at the news, there was a teen boy actually killed the mother. I don't know why. Now, I think one would think that this happened in the family, but this is the reality just today. And we have so many teenagers, they are in trouble with that. And, you know, maybe, I think more seriously, that many of us are facing faith crisis. With all these challenges coming, that how are we standing in our faith? Are we still believing in the God that we used to claim? Are we doubting Him? Oh, these are the troubles that we may be facing for this coming year. Especially for a young one. And I always pray for our younger generation that, you know, when they come to church when they were young, well, most likely because the parents forced. I have three myself, and I always pray that, you know, it is not because of me they come to church. It is because of Jesus Christ. And I really hope that they themselves will build this close relationship and to recognize them instead of, my dad is a pastor, so I have to come to church. Like, they have no choice at all. But it's not the case. So, what would you do in this situation like David? If you were David, what to do? You know, if you look at Samuel, the book of Samuel, the comparison with David was Saul. Saul was given a lot of opportunities to fight battle and a lot of challenges. But if you read the life of Saul, you find it every time Saul handled situations with his own way. And every time that Samuel, even the prophet, tells him that you need to wait for me. And every time Saul did his own thing in his way. And you see that Saul is drawing away from God in every story. It's getting further and further. So far that God didn't even want to talk to him. He ended up speaking with the Spirit. And so I think, because of the setting, it is fit to say that the first thing we should learn to do is to turn to God. Now, with David, he, in this situation, he can find his own way to handle this thing. But David did not. David turned to the Lord first. Maybe you say, but how can we answer this question? I know God is good. And then you say, how can a loving God allow evil things to happen? David was a good man. Why would God allow such a terrible thing happening to his family? Well, it is, again, a very challenging question. I mean, even myself will have to think for a bit in order to answer this question. How do you answer this question? It's a very practical. But I saw a story online on the internet recently, so I'd like to explain that, tell the story, because it has copyright, so I cannot put it up there. Anyway, I saw a video showing a Christian man went for a haircut. So he went to a barber shop and, you know, kind of chatting with his own barber. I said, oh, hey, Mr. The same haircut, same hairstyle. Yeah. Just like yours, it's the hair with on your head. So they just kind of really chat in the beginning. So, the Christian man sat down and the barber starts cutting his head. So, the Christian man sitting down and then he pulled out a Bible and started reading the Bible while getting a haircut. I was like, I never done that. I mean, how do you cut your hair and while reading the Bible, you have all the hair coming down, right? I don't do that, but he did. Anyway, maybe it's just a story. I don't know how many of you do that. And he was reading the Bible. And the barber noticed that and went on and cut his hair. And after finishing cutting, then the barber said, oh, I realized that you're reading the Bible. Yes, I'm a Christian. So, well, you know, not to take offense, you know, I already realized that if there is a loving God, how can he allow terrible things happening that's going on around the world? You know, so many bad things going on. If there is a God, I don't think that is right. And the Bible says, still, because of that, I decided that there is no God in the world. So the Christian man stood in front of him, tried to explain him, and like he knows all the Bible, then he tried to explain it, but he ended up, now that, okay, see you next time. He didn't know what to say, because it's really, really hard issue. So, with frustration, he set up the shop, and he was like, and I say more about this. I wish I had the word to say. So he turned around and saw a beggar sitting right there. And he thought for a while. Wow, I have something to say. So he turned around, he brought the beggar back into the shop and said to the barber, I think in the world there is no barber. What are you talking about? I just cut your hair. You know? Cut your hair. I'm here. And he said, I don't think so. Why? Look at this man. His hair is so long. You know? His hair is so long. Because his hair is so long, so I think there is no barber in this world. Said, well, what is it? He never come in and ask for me to cut his hair. So sometimes I think we are too bogged down to about just what happens around us. But true question is, we never ask to go and turn to God. We like the idea that there is God, maybe, but we don't want to get close to Him. So I find it is a pretty good way of illustrating about this question. You know? Anyway, so if we want to find healing or we want to find solution, many times we should find it by turning to Him. Turning to God and to find healing and miracles from Him. Because Jesus Christ has promised us, come to me. Let's read this together, right? One, two, go. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Jesus didn't say, let me come go to you. He already did it, actually. But He never forced us. He said, come. You need to come to me, and I will give you rest. So, first of all, we need to learn to turn to God with the idea. But, maybe you say, sometimes I'm already here, but I just don't know what to do. I have no strength. We need to find strength in the Lord. And I have three things probably to share with all of you. The first one is that we need to find strength, how? In the daily faith in the Lord. Now, in the entire passage, I love this verse. Let's read this one. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Now, this may be a very short verse, but I find that it is interesting how the passage, that the verse, that the author put the Lord his God. At least there's identity here. He recognized this God, this Lord, is his God. Belongs to him. Now, let me ask you this question. What is your last name? Tony, what is your last name? Wong. And how do you find this last name? Is it awesome? Yeah. How many Wong here? Yeah, of course. You know your last name is? Oh, is that great? Is that awesome? Yes, it is. My last name, a lot of people do not recognize, don't know. My last name is Tan, instead of Chen, okay? Tan. In our family, we have these physical recordings of generations. And realize that I'm the 16th generation from the one that first started recording. And you know, in fact, that first generation was a big shot guy. He was an official in China. And he moved from Fujian to Hainan, the way I came from. And he was an official, I know, because he wrote a lot of poems and all that stuff. And he's the one that decided the middle name we call it Guilin, and that's how I know I'm 16, because I'm the second set of it. One set, we had 14 characters. I'm the second set, the second set. So I'm the 16th generation. That's why my next generation is Wen, Wen. According to that. Anyway, and do I feel awesome about it? Maybe. But I have a question about it, though. Because when you learn Chinese history, how many of your officials are going to Hainan, which is very rural area? How many? Usually they go closer to Beijing, and they're not going to go further of it. And do I feel awesome about it? Yes, maybe. But the fact is they are dead. So, anyway, why did I say that? Because as Christians, we have a different identity. What is it? Let's look at this passage. And you all know this. Let's read it all together. One, two, go. Yet, to all who receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. We are children of God. How do we become children of God? We believe in Him. How do you believe in Him? We receive Him. You know, if we have received Jesus in our life, guess what? You are a child of God. And so that's the identity that we need to remember. Every time when we face trouble, oh, I feel frustrated. I don't know what to do. You know what? We forgot one thing. We are a children of God, of awesome God. We may be in trouble. You know, our God is awesome. Right? Right? We always forget. We go, oh, I'm so, I don't know what to do. We forgot about our God. It's an awesome God. So we need to remind ourselves, even when you wake up this morning, that I'm a child of the awesome God. Maybe you want to say that yourself. I'm a child of the awesome God. Okay? Maybe you want to tell each other too. Okay? To encourage them. Okay. Not only that we need to find strength in our daily, but we need to remind ourselves who we are. Not only that. And I think if you look at David's life, you can see how he pursued God. And our being Christian is not like lay back, come every Sunday and sit on this comfortable chair and do nothing. In a Christian life, for the rest of our life, we need to pursue God. Talking about pursue, you need to pay. You need to put effort on it. I remember when I was pursuing my wife. And I was trying to win her heart. So what did I do? I give you some tips for the young one. I would go work out, you know, show off my muscles maybe. I would buy some nice clothes, you know, not more colorful, more younger look, but not sloppy and, you know, everything. Maybe I would put on some cologne or perfume or something to smell better and make sure I shower, make sure I have good breath and everything and be the best so that she, in order to get an opportunity to be close to her, get near to her. Now, if we want to get close to God, we need to pursue that. How? The Bible says in Hebrews, pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. If we want to see God, if we want to be close to God, now there's two things. Of course, we pursue peace. Not only that, pursue holiness. Pursue holiness. And 1 Timothy 6:11, Paul tells Timothy that, but you, man of God, remember who we were? We were a child of God, so we're supposed to be man of God too. But you, man of God, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. If you read 1 Timothy, the big idea is to be godly. So I think it is right for me to say that the focus is pursue godliness. If we want to pursue God, how? We need to be godly. We need to be godly. Now, be godly is something like this. If we want, we need to pursue and go after God, and we need to draw near to God. James says, come near to God, and He will come near to you. How do we go near to God? If you read James, that you need to be clean. You need to get rid of all the sin. So, first thing we need to do in time of trouble, we need to go near to God. God doesn't force you. We are the ones having trouble. We have needs. We need to go to Him. It's often as perilous to be a father. Now, you know your kids have problems. But, you know, as father, I don't like to interrupt it or intrude the privacy, I tell her, you have problem, let me help you. It doesn't work that way. Often I say, you have a problem, you come to me. So when we have problems, we have an awesome God, awesome Father. So we need to join him to him. So not only that we need to be faithful in him, we need to be pursuing of him, and third thing I think, we need to walk with him daily. I remember Popeye. How many of you remember Popeye? I'm not talking about Popeye chicken, though, but maybe there's some relation. Okay. But Popeye, because I liked watching them when I was younger. And I remember one of the stories where Popeye, because he always carried a few cans of his spinach, right? And, you know, actually spinach is not, doesn't taste good, right? It's not very tasty vegetable. So one day he gets tired of this. He said, I have so tired of this, and I decided not to eat it anymore. So, of course, after he made that decision, here comes Bruno. Bruno will come and bully him, not only bully him, and take away his girlfriend, Olive. So Popeye is like hand tied and not be able to do anything, and the rotating saw is coming near, close by to him, and it's almost being sawed into half, something like that. And in this dire situation, all of a sudden he found the other side of the conveyor belt spinach was poured out. So then he decided to do his pipe, and then to suck that spinach, and he ate that spinach, and all of a sudden he broke loose. And then he decided, I would never leave this out anymore. Now, if we want to find strength in the Lord, not only that we need to recognize who we are, we need to draw closer to him. And every day, we need to walk with him. We need to have God in our mind. Okay. We want to be blessed by God. I have a professor told me that if you want to be blessed by God with strength, you need to stand in the highway of blessing of God. Imagine God's highway, God's blessing is like a traffic coming through this way. If you stand beside of that, you get nothing. You need to stand in the way of God to let God's blessing and his strength to rush in us. That's how we receive strength. If we keep standing away from his way, no way. We need to stand in the highway of God. That's why as Joshua is about to cross over to the land of Canaan, God actually encouraged him. Let's read this together. One, two, go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, and so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So even for Joshua, God says that, do not be afraid. But before that, you need to meditate my words day and night. So we need to draw close to God and meditate his words. Then God will strengthen us. You see, that's how it is. So another challenge that I probably can give you is that, you know, you need to resolve in this year that you want to try to finish reading the Bible. Oh, yeah, this is a great way to start. So it is a little bit 17, so you need to begin Genesis, and you need to work a little, but it's still workable. Okay? All right. So the three things. Now, last thing I find that, you know, we need to stand up in the strength of God. Miracles can still happen for the faithful one. Saul, because of his disconnection with God, actually has led him to his own death. If you read the passage, Saul, at the same time, Saul was engaging the battle with the Philistines, and he died. Because Saul thinks that I can do it myself. I can handle it. He didn't want God to do that. But that leads me to another person that, you know, you may know. How many of you know Ali? Very long time ago, okay? But he's still very famous. He's still alive. Anyway, he was a champion of a light heavy fight, weight of the boxing champion. And I remember one story about him. One day he was on a plane, he was about to depart, and the air stewardess came by him and said that, "Oh, mister, would you please fasten your seat belt?" So Ali crossed his arms and said, "Superman needs no, do not need no seat belt. Because he is very strong, right? And Superman does not need no seat belt." So, air stewardess said and looked at him and said, "Superman does not need no airplane either." Sometimes, I think we are have too much confidence in ourselves. In reality, we are not that great. We are not that great. We need to be humble. You know what? David, he seeks help. He sought help of God. Ask God. Even though at those times the people were about to stone him, remember? But David didn't care about that. He said, "I need to pray to God." And he asked God for permission to pursue and rescue the family. And worse yet, 600 men went with him, but only 400 kept quiet for him. And very unlikely to win this battle. But David did. Defeated the Amalekites with only 400 men. Not only that happened, and he recovered everything the Amalekite had taken here, said that David brought everything back. Miracle happened because he remained faithful to God. But I think the reality is miracle doesn't happen always. This has happened every time. We can ask God, but miracle doesn't happen every time you ask. Because in reality, miracles does not guarantee faith. Look at Jesus. He performed many, many miracles. Do we have people not believing in him after observing, seeing the miracles? Yes, a lot of them. Miracles doesn't guarantee faith. See? Now, but only for the people in those days, for believers. We should not rely on the appearance of the miracles all the time, but something that we need to learn. So here comes, this is how many of you like skiing? Skiing is fun. And I was leading some of the youth to ski trip, and I did not know that, you know, first time I went there, I often tell them that if you are newbie, and you need to take lessons from there. You need to pay $45, $50 for a few hours, and there will be a coach teaching you how to do that. And a lot of them went to the class and still did not know how to ski. So I ended up teaching them. I didn't know I could teach them. And I realized something very, very real, that, you know, whenever the students fall. You have to fall to learn to ski. If you don't fall, there's something wrong with you. Everyone falls. But every time when you fall, there's two things you need to do. First, you need to listen to the coach. The coach will say, "All right, just stand up. I am here. It is okay." The student will have not only listened to the coach, but the next thing he has to do is because if you don't stand up, you will not be able to see. You're afraid for your next fall, and you don't stand up, you will never learn. So the next time you still have a stand up. You see, we fall all the time. And every time you look back, because we fall, because we start, we stood up. We need to stand up. Because God is our Father. He's right there. He says, stand up. So, every time you feel like you're defeated, first of all, we need to do is listen to the voice of God. He's there. We need to listen to His voice. And stand up again. And in this passage, David listened and stood up and fought again. Remember, he cried out so much that he had no more strength to cry. And then he stood up and fought. So, what do we learn today? We learn that in the new year, if you want to find strength in the Lord, first you need to turn to Jesus. Of course, you need to have this relationship with Jesus. And I hope all of you have it. If you don't, you can today you can ask Jesus to come into your life. So that you can come to Jesus, not only that, how do you find strength? Every day, you need to recognize that you are a child of God, of this awesome God. And not only that, every day we need to learn to pursue Him by drawing close to Him. Every day. And to experience with God by walking with Him. Every day, you need to have God's Word in your heart. When you feel you are defeated and you have no more strength, but listen to him, and after listening to him, be courageous, and you need to stand, because God has given us strength to do that. Of course, Pastor Hunger has many stories, and maybe you think that in his life, he has all the success stories. And I tell you, he would come to you and say, oh, I have gone through this terrible time before. You know, in his life, there's some failures, some challenges to face. But that's how he remained faithful. Yes, he got to live up to 99 years old. I don't know if I have that the blessing to live up to that age. But one day, when we reach this time. How do you describe your life? For Pastor Hunter, I think this verse fits for him. And I hope that our life will be like that. Let's read this, 2 Timothy 4, 7-8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. So I hope that in this new year, that we all find strength in the Lord. That's all. Father God, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. And now that we are not strong, we fail. But thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior. He died for us. He's overcome death. And we pray the Lord that we would turn to you, so that we recognize that we can find strength in our daily faith in you, in our daily pursuit of you, and in our daily walk with you. We pray that, Lord, you will bless all of us this morning. Help us to listen to you when we feel like defeated. Not only recognize your voice, that we will stand up again, because you have given us strength to do it. So Jesus, we pray that you will help us this morning to remember you are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name. 保是走路走四个月，元月份走到五月份才到耶路撒冷。在这个地方的思想，我就说起就讲到我们的下一代的人离开中国到美国来不晓得几千里啊，在这里长大的时候，希望他们能够想到，我不晓得为什么这个尼西米会想到中国，他是真的那里边，他想起来，心中着急，所以他愿意回去，回去。所以在这个地方，他回去做什么呢？他告诉那个王说：“我要到我列祖坟墓地方，到那边去建造一点东西，因为这个是讲到要建造家园的时候 ，politically 你不能讲得清楚说。”我要建造这个城墙，城墙一建出来就是有玩起来，有抵抗。慢慢的，第二天他讲清楚，我回去要修理。感谢主，这个玩的话就应允他回去了。所以我就用这两个地方，我就想起很重要很重要。被掳归回的时候，我就讲到第一，你看到讲义里面的不是大纲里面讲到说，他们的话就回去了，照着他们所做的。回去了，回去的被回的历史中间，我们下面再看出来，请你打下下面一张的图片好不好？啊，第一个，还有一张进去了吗？呀，如果你看中文的，就讲两次被掳啊，两次被掳，我们很快的讲到第一次被掳的时候，就像所罗门王。他死了以后政治不好，就分了两国，北边有十国叫做以色列，这个十国是在什么时候亡呢？是在722年的时候，22年的时候给谁灭掉？亚述过来把他们灭掉，灭掉把这些百姓带到前巴比伦国的那时候，这个地方把这个民放在那一边，又把那些附近住在巴比伦前面的前巴比伦的人把他迁到以那个撒玛利亚境内分布在，意思就是说我要让这个民族让他混合混居，叫他的下一代没有纯粹的犹太人。所以南国的话犹大他们看不起北边的人，135年以后照样的这个祸患临到他，他是给谁灭掉呢？南国的话的 South Kingdom 的话就是586年135年的时候把他灭掉了，给谁灭掉这一次啊？巴比伦兴起来把亚述灭掉，他灭掉以后的话，这些分着三次被掳啊，尼布加密撒进来了，西西家把这个病的时候好在这把这耶路撒冷里面金银宝库给他看，那些人回去后啊不要来拿这些东西，真的来了三次把他灭掉了。灭掉以后有这一个国就灭了，南国也没有，北国也没有，南国只有两个支派，一个便雅悯，一个犹大，还有一个耶路撒冷。耶路撒冷他进来的时候全部把他毁掉了，东西宝贝都拿走了，所以它是一个非常荒凉的，而且没有人住的，因为所有的人都高级好的这些受教育的那些人都被掳去，剩下来是最穷困的，没有房子住的，贫不是平民就是穷民，这些人住在那里也没有葡萄园，还有这些人，所以他们掳去以后耶路撒冷是荒凉的。三次归回，什么时候归回？三次归回，神的应许借着这个耶利米说，被掳70年以后，他要归回。这个消息传到巴比伦那边的以西结听见了，不住的祷告神啊，你要把这些渔民把我带回去。所以祷告完，真的70年以后，他们有三次被掳归回。这个 Zerubbabel 的话是在537年。这个他的长官省长就是撒伯萨，撒伯萨的时候带领撒加利亚，不撒加利亚是祭司了，还有这个所罗巴伯回来了，第一批人带了5万人回来， 第二批过了差不多五十年了，圣殿盖完了，他回来盖圣殿了。回来的时候过了五十多年以后，以斯拉458年回来了，他来做什么？美化圣殿，还有呢，教百姓们读经，教百姓们把神的话能够读得好。再过了十年以后，以斯拉 Israel 458年，他回来啊，不，尼亚美亚，我讲过了，尼亚美亚的话就是尼希米回来了。带了多少人呢？可能几百个人回来。感谢主，因着这个人的回来，这些渔民有作为了。在以西结书里面讲过，他祷告的时候，他在那边祷告啊，神啊，求你兴起一个人，能够在那里修补城墙，并且为着他的名堵住那个破口，叫这个名能够兴起来。我找不到一个人。最后他找到了尼希米，我是这样子讲啊，他圣经有这样子。回来的时候他就回来了，带了尼希米回国之前，在服侍的神里面，我们刚刚念过他是做九正的，九正的人在当时的话是可以是说是做公安局里面的人，为这个皇族这个藏这个所有的美食中间，特别是酒。不能有毒，不能害死他。还有的话，寝室里面的安全都是他帮。所以这种人能够又是个俘虏，能够在这个国里面升到这么高，与王同在，他的个性一定是非常的清廉，非常的能干，非常的聪明。所以升到这个程度，他那天听了这话的时候，他就祷告，神听他的话就回来了。啊，我们去看看底下还有一些。读经的我们看一下好不好，前面的读经的还有两个没有离出来，我们不然的话我们就自己看一下，记在第四章这一边的话，四章十二节里面啊，所以他回来建造的时候，就按着各宗派拿着刀拿着枪，在各城墙的低洼处在那边看，我查看了以后，就起来对贵胄说，他宣起这些人来说，不要怕他们，当纪念主是大而可畏的，你们要为我们的弟兄，哎呀，你看到你打开圣经看，在四章十三十四节，为你的弟兄，为你的妻子，为你的家常来祷告，来征战，宣起民族爱国爱家的心来征战。我们再看到第很快的我跳过去就讲说，到了这个第六章十五十六节那边讲说，以路月的那一年25日，城墙修完了，一共修了多少天呢？52天。哇，这也底下一句话的一个见证说，我们这个一切的仇敌，四围的外邦人听见了就惧怕，愁眉不展，因为看见这个工作的完成是出乎我们的神。所以尼希米是不是借着他自己才能看见什么，而是借着他自己与神的沟通，完全领受神的带领，回来跟着百姓一起来建造这个城墙。所以我们看了，那这个城墙有个历史背景的话，我们请后面的人弟兄可以打出来吗？因为我要看这个圣城的话，这个到后面我们看前面的啊，前面的话就讲说，我们再看这个会幕，一讲到他们列祖的时候，他们有个遗传，而且信的犹太人最大的，在这全世界上最高傲的，他们有四样的东西是神应许给他。第一个，神应许他有这个 应该说是会幕那时候是说神与他们同在，一个的见证会幕。第二个，他们有个圣地，牛奶与蜜之地，神允许给亚伯拉罕。第三个，他们有一个非常重要的东西叫做律法，律法书就是圣经给他。最后的话，他们要建造圣殿，圣殿是他们所有，其他的各种的宗教里面没有神允许他给他这么。所以这个你看到会幕的时候是代表说在摩西的时候神与他同在，这个是照着山上样式说的。会幕在下去，我们看到前面是这个祭坛几座点，以后进去会幕里面，里面有这个饼，还有灯，还有个香坛，后面一个再进去是圣所。这些跟我们尼希米记跟以后希伯来书都有很大的关系。下面一章我们看到进去的时候，这些是代表什么呢？下面一章就到了圣所里面去啊，我们上去一点啊。这个的话要想到说，我们知道的外院进去以后，黄色的一个祭坛，祭坛的话就是你要献祭的时候，他们宰羊宰牛，代表你自己认罪在神面前。以后如果要服侍的话，到洗桌间，洗桌间那边就是进去的人一定要穿洗干净自己，祭司他们要进去服侍。一进去以后，你看到有圣所碰到了门帘，进去以后灯台，灯台代表耶稣基督是世上的光，也是生命的光。以后就看到饼桌那边有饼，十二饼在那边，代表耶稣是生命的粮。再进去一个香坛，金的香坛，那个代表说神听我们祷告的声音，而且也是耶稣基督坐在父神的右边的大祭司为我们祷告。以后再进去没有人敢进去了，有大祭司可以进去至圣所里面。至圣所里面有什么东西？有一个约柜嘛，黄人们，约柜里面有什么东西？当时的时候约柜里面有几件的东西，他们做纪念。一个是司法实践的神给你立约的，还有一个是亚伦发芽的杖，在里面生命复活的生命。第三个玛纳金罐子装在那边，就像我们受过神的带领在旷野的时候吃玛纳这一群的名字。所以在这个底下三面盖着施恩的宝座，就是神与我们同在。还有两个基督伯对抗的，就是在这见证神的施恩宝座是怜悯慈爱，没有受了律法的限制的时候，神是公义，是圣洁的，是慈爱的，在罪的底下他能够赦免，但是他公义也很棒。所以我们就过去了，这个永远的要记住，你现在要学习画的，等到希伯来书的时候，我们也见到会幕再下去的时候坐在哪里呢？是亚伯拉罕的时候，神说你那时候450年以后摩西回来见到这个会幕。最早的时候神应许亚伯拉罕，那个亚伯拉罕献以撒的时候，那个地点，那会幕的地点是移动的，等到固定的时候是在摩利亚山上。我们下面一章的话看到说，在摩利亚山上那里有神预备的所在，往上一点点，那时候大卫就攻下了耶路撒冷西安城，在底下的比较大的那个地方，也这个在那边他自己想造会幕，也说耶和华说不可以，你的手太干净，太不干净，有杀人太多，要等到你的儿子所罗门王的时候才盖。所以上面的那个点点点出来的话，就是所罗门盖了，盖了以后这个圣殿七年盖完，他自己又加上去宫殿在上面，在那边。这个在哪里？在摩利亚山上。在上去的时候变压雨，在过去这边的话是这个叫做橄榄山。那这个还没盖完的时候，我们就知道神已经把它图像都预备进入圣殿盖了。所罗门王，我们下面再看一次所罗门王的圣殿是这么的辉煌。我们再看一下所罗门的圣殿是这样子的辉煌。这个盖了以后，我们看到这个殿的话最后也没有了。 我们刚刚讲到圣殿的时候，巴比伦进来把这个全部毁掉，结果没有，他们再回来再建造的时候，所罗巴伯盖的那个殿我们不知道有多大。那些人回来以后，他以前看过圣殿的那么辉煌，今天看到殿，他设的根祭坛的根基以后，神的殿的根基都好了以后，我们特别接到哈该跟所罗巴伯这些先知出来鼓励百姓要把它建起来。我们看到神在那时候建的圣殿，但老人家看了以后哭了，原来是这么小的一个，以前那个东西怎么没有关系，所有的就是神的旨意在那里。我就讲到这里，然后再下去以后，我们就看到他没有以后就到耶稣基督的时代了。这个的话，这张图就留在这里了。我们就今天就看到耶利米他在这里建圣殿的时候，说你看到第二个，我们看到讲义中间的时候，他进去建造的时候，尼希米就因着他的意象回来祷告，神就祝福他，在王的面前说，我要回去我的老家列祖地方，在那里建造。没有讲什么，后面第二章讲到是圣殿被毁了，城墙要建造。所以他借着这些事情，我相信这个接着这个古列王波斯那时候灭掉巴比伦，让他们回来一年，耶利米70年以后归回的。对，我们在这里我就写下来说，在异象中间他看到的时候，异象与祷告感动完全，这不容易。异象中间看到的时候，这次没有的时候，他里面，所以你看到耶利米是一个非常知名的领导，他知道需要什么东西，他需要资金，他需要材料，他需要通行证。你要过这些，从这个现在的波斯一直到耶路撒冷，要通过很多战役的，而且你要有回去的话，什么都没有的时候你怎么建呢？资金要有，他有，他给他了。还有这个材料，说你回去的时候经过河西地带，你要盖的那个城墙的门，还有你的家，这些都供应你。最后他需要走路的，军队也帮助他，神怜悯，出他回来就到了耶路撒冷，走了4个月回到那里开始建殿。我们看到建殿的时候是何等的美丽啊，他在这里说他就开始祷告，出去晚上回去第3天，他就出去巡视耶路撒冷城墙，从那个地方一个人骑着驴啊或者那样子走到那个古门的地方呢。高迪兄能不能帮我下怎么指这个东西，怎么用指标啊？他就从这个地方开始，就这个，从这地方开始看啊，古门这里开始出来看，顺着这里下来，哎呀走不进去了，他就走路，走路又从这个地方古门这地方就回去，就回去。回去以后的计划说怎么能够把这些东西弄好，他的计划叫他糊口，所有的百姓都要起来，从那些什么人呢，从那些祭司立位人，还有这些银匠，还有这些做生意的，还有这些平民的百姓，还有一些妇女，全部起来种稻。所以他们开始稻的时候就从这里开始稻。这里的话呀，从这个应该是从阳门开始，他顺着时钟下来造啊，鱼门这个阳门鱼门古门下来到了这个古门，第5的话就到了粪场门，以后到泉门鱼水门马门，这个还有这个东门，到最后的这个哈米斯门做完了，一个52天全部盖完了。我们可以看出来，这些的话，当时的人叫做羊门，就是羊宰杀的地方，可以在这里。鱼门的话，北边的运下来加利利的，还有那些都运上面。还有这个古门，最早的时候叫古门，这个 古门下来以后到圣场门，所有那时候什么东西都在那边。全门的话，这里水从这里引进来的，水泉、水门、马门，十个门。这看起来很简单，当时的时候这有两里长的周围啊。他们这些考古或者说圣经的学者都是想说，不可能，五十二天造完，神给他们重新协力造完了。他说考古里面他说他起码要有两年四个月才能做完，他们做完了，感谢上面主和重新协力的是何等的做，他们就按班就部的勘察工程勉励大家一起来做。第三个，你造这个城的时候不简单，我的分段的时候我们一定要学习说你心里怎么读，我就读的时候把它第二段里面在第一章到第六章分成它三点里面就看了，第三段的时候就是七章到十三章，就像他们做完以后怎么献殿，把殿里面东西活出来，叫人看见也敬拜，有人聚会，不是空空的，人少。好，在这里说就按部的就班的话就做成了。那以后呢，他在自谋对付这个仇敌。他们仇敌的话我们念过来的话，我们刚刚念了，因为漏掉一个地方，那些参巴拉就是谁啊，那些北边的那个撒玛利亚人的这些下来，他们很早就进来在那边住的，还有那个还有个多比亚，他是这个也是亚门人，是那边东方来的进到耶路撒冷。另外一个基善的话是谁啊，亚拉伯人。所以他们是一个杂居的在这里，他们说你们回来造啊。所以第一个是说，哎，我们很想跟你合作，是用合作的方法来跟你一起做。你是不是说不对，没有，我不跟你合作，你们不是原原真真的犹太人，所以你们对圣城的建造，你看到第二章二十节里面，你们是没有份的，无份无权，还有没有被纪念。这几句话对我来讲，我念的时候也有一个很深的感动。如果一个人不是神，你是没有与神发生关系的，神不会祝福你，必须要有。我就是讲说我有份，为什么？我是一个蒙恩得救受洗归入基督的，在主里面我有名，上帝有名字在永生册里，所以我有份。无权，我有权的话，因为我在神的工作里面，我有服侍，我愿意服侍，我愿意参加教会的服侍，神一定第三点的话被纪念，一定的。这是神对仇敌来讲很清楚，没有关系，对我们服侍的人的话，你有份，你有权，你是永远在教会里面，在神的国度里面，你有份，你在建造神的国度，神的家。所以在这个地方的话，我就在这里写过，以后仇敌来的时候，第一个就是和你合作，我们可以合作，不能合作，我们建这个教堂里的时候，没有一分钱是外面的人给的，自己奉献将近100万，神说就让这些爱神的子民愿意奉献，愿意亲自来把这清洁祷告的手钱拿出来。最近这个 PowerPoint 里面有多少的钱呢、啊？好多好多，15.5的地点。哎呀，一个人住在这个 Tennessee 那边，哇，他们老两个人，一个女儿要推，他自己要推车，我还是要做，因为什么？他成为他的习惯，不能因着这个钱我就不做，我还是照样上班。有一种的性格是这样子养的，我们在神里面前殷勤，我们在神里面愿意做，我们在神里面愿意奉献，我们真是感谢神。这一次下去以后不合作，拒绝，绝对。第二个，你拒绝了，我们现在要派人来搅扰你。哎，是这样，你这个建的城墙的话，那狐狸跳上去就踩了，就根本就不住，笑你，欺负你。还要跟那些人勾结，因为那些人掺杂在里面服侍的正堂中间的话，他们这些人就看见说，如果他们建造起来，他们要压我们了，我们不得了，上书报告给波斯王说，
他们要是建造起来，他们要造反的，他们要做完的。哎，没有证据啊。可是他们查了以后真的有，因为以前这个耶路撒冷地方翻片子工程在索罗巴伯的时候停了20年，哎，这到现在他们就说到尼希米的时候，你可以去查，你们的王在这个约里面给我们说我们可以建造，所以有证据，说明他们就在这个时候从以斯拉那边下来开始有建造，又开始建造城墙，城墙就把它飞出来。第三个，这个恐惧吓到派人来谋杀你，这三个的话就是就像耶稣来了，盗贼来无非是什么抢夺、掳掠、谋杀，就是他们我们的这个仇敌所做的。最近我们看到全世界上，你要认识啊，这个 ISIS 兴起来的时候，有人是说他就是敌基督的兴起，因为他们也是回教徒的国家，他们要相信阿拉是他们的神，跟你们基督教的神差不多，我们的祖宗就是亚伯拉罕，你们的祖宗也是亚伯拉罕，我们是以斯玛利的后裔，你们是这个以撒的后裔，我们不一样。但是他们起来要说我们现在要盖满全地，要恢复这个回教徒的荣耀。所以在这里我们看出来，这些的人的话是他非常残忍的，你不信一直刀砍掉，可兰经就是他们一个手刀一个手可兰经，你不说回教徒就是开始。所以我们要为这些事情祷告。我最近参加那个退休会冬令会的时候，那些人说这个也不一定是敌基督，但是我相信敌基督以后要从这些人中间发出来，也许说他就是在基督教里面天主教里面教皇或者怎么样，我们不管，就是为着神的国度必须要分明，我们是在主里面是一个光明的国度，我们要为主服侍。仇敌的搅扰、仇敌的诡计、仇敌的这种来搅扰的这些的，通通的耶利米就讲，我们的神是大而可畏的，我们要相信神会做成。好了，做成了，到第三段里面就说，人有了，我们的软件啊，不是硬件都做好了，所有的城，我们外面的也有围栏啊。我们那次说大嫂说了，小孩都搬进去，城墙弄好了，我们这些生活有保障，我们可以在这里面。可在这里不能比喻当时的时代。我们在中国有一个很大的城墙叫什么？长城啊，为了外面的这些人来侵来中国的时候，这些匈奴能挡住。你到北京的北京也有一个城墙，北京的城墙到现在没有了。我们可以回到说，我们要回去建北京的城墙，我们回去要建造天堂，因为我们是爱国的人。我生在美国40几年了，我们想说我现在要回去，神有没有这样的感动，你愿意这样做？而且是我们他们是下一代的人，尼希米就说我愿意回去。当时这些人被掳70年以后，很多人，我们叫陈锡珍在这里讲过，发财了，以前是做农民的耕种的，现在到这个巴比伦的时候，全世界最繁华的话在那边的时候，经商犹太人变得非常做生意的，许多的人在高地的里面的这些人，有的没有回来，有的人在留在那里，只有那些愿意回去的祭司、立位、服侍神最清楚的人一起回来。我们不是说在北美的话，愿意进教会的人是不是那些高干或者是一些知识分子最高的，我们愿意一起来进到神的教会，一起来服侍。我们必须有个平衡的一个人在神的国度里面，因为神已祷告了，神不只看过这些普通的百姓，神所看重的是那些心灵忏悔、心中忧伤、愿意与神亲近的人，向神祷告人。神愿意这些人进到教会，进到他的国度，一起来服侍。这些人才是真正的在神里面是一个被神所应许。所以刚刚讲到那些渔民的时候，我们最近在念以赛亚书的时候就知道说，渔民以赛亚说这是最重要的，神的旨意中间恢复国度荣耀的国度的就是这一批的人，剩下的剩余的这些人，我们中间必须想到这些 真理的时机，中间一定会有少数的人在这教会中间，他要亲起来。以赛亚说，这些人起来的时候是万下扎根，向上什么结果子。我们今天这次的动力会也是这个题，必须记得神一定要用这些的渔民回来做建造的工作，做他荣耀的国度里面的平民这些事。所以我们感谢神，我们今天还在那以赛亚书的时候，当神的国度耶路撒冷被建立的时候，他是给全世界的人，最后一天所有的人都要进耶路撒冷，那个城墙叫做什么呢？救恩的城墙。还要进到里面讲，这是在六十章十八节还是二十节的讲，那个城墙叫做救恩，那门叫做什么？赞美的也美。所以你到耶路撒冷的时候，你进到门的时候是救恩的门，就是应该要救恩的墙啊，墙已经成为救恩，以后的拆了没有了，门的话进去的时候是个救恩。但愿我们在这里聚集的时候，我们的教会不只是这些一些，还有很多外面的人没有信。我们那些礼拜六的时候聚会的，我们听到侯牧师讲的时候，当你看到这个意象的时候，你是不是愿意把你所领受的这个恢复神恢复的工作在教会里面做，做把他的救恩领出去，在你的家庭里面，在你工作的地方，在你很远的远近的地方，把救恩的门打开，拆回中间的墙，我们耶稣基督做到。所以你到希伯来书了就说，那个中间的门，那个中间的墙被拆开的时候，所有种族的问题能够撤开，所有记恨的人能够撤开，除了那个最大的这个恶人最近抓到了，从地下底到逃出去的那个 Apoco 还是什么，神也能抓到这些最坏的人，在他的权柄底下来受刑。我们求神帮助我们进去以后啊，硬件做完了，但里面没有人住啊，翻梁啊，只有那些贵族啊，还有一些人有资格的住在里面，平民的话我也没有什么东西，我不太愿意。祭司坐在里面，还有连那个立位人是服侍神的工作这一方面，还有一个打杂的叫做民什么人呢没地方住。好，他普查，我们现在已经到了第七、第八的时候，普查的时候就是看到有多少的人可以进去，十分之一抽签进去，必须的，这是规定。所以尼西米要规定这些的时候，教会也有必须要有一些记录的。所以他建成的时候里面就说，这些人向着哪一方面是你的，向其次是哪一家的人，面对面带着兵带着刀枪切，整夜整夜的在那边开始建造。建造完的时候，这些人不进去那怎么办呢？抽签呢？还有愿意进去的人，全部可以进去的人，你可以进去，欢迎进去住在里面。以后的话，里面百姓建造的时候，觉得说我们什么都没有，吃也没有了，五十几天，百姓没有东西吃怎么办？还有一些人有田有田的，他说我把这些人典当了，去把我的钱交税以后，我家里没有剩下钱怎么办呢？把儿女们都卖掉了抵账了。所以所以心里就他说，各位，你们家里面的人没有东西吃了，我们要一起来分享，把这些东西一起来共用的时候，有钱的人你打人家的女儿女做奴隶的，你要把它放出来归给他们。他是非常公正的，需要说一切的在主里面，在耶和华之下，你必须有这种态度。有这样，我呢，我是省长啊，现在省长，我不领钱，没有钱不要。那其他的东西要用的，还有150个人在你旁边帮助你，怎么办呢？一天要杀一只牛，奉献愿意做的全部有贡献。所以在这服事里面，你可以看出来，我们所以尼西米西在旧约里面要成为一个，我们现在人所说的，很多人就用他来做什么领袖，是如何产生，如何来安排 自己，如何来推动人工作，如何来把这些东西资料收集起来再分发出，有规矩，有程序，有组织，能够把神的家做好。上去普查以后就发到管理上面，以后再下去以后，很多东西你可以在你面前唱。我很喜欢唱这首愿你的灵来复兴我。我们在卑微的时候，你什么时候失去你的爱心，什么时候失去你的信心，还有什么时候失去你愿意服侍的心，是在什么时候，在你喜乐的时候，在你歌唱或者忘记了，或者忘记了，愿我们能够复兴的你。所以圣灵工作来搅拌我们，在我们今天开始的时候，我们愿意读他的话，在耶利米书13章，两个礼拜就读完了，做笔记，画图，这个图的话在那边画出来，从那个阳门，从那个鱼门一直下来凤场门，再上去水门到东门。东门的时候我刚刚忘记提了，东门就是神要回来的地方，要进去。现在我们去耶路撒冷看的时候，那个门是封的，因为教徒是讲这个要是他回来，我不让他回来，底下犹太人很多的坟墓在那里，说耶稣回来的时候我们首先就复活了。但愿神帮助我们看见不是物质的，要看我们的眼睛打开，我们迎接主回来的时候，随时的在哪里的讲，忽然间就到我们当中来，求主帮助我们，来的时候我们能听声音帮手的来迎接他。我们就下去再看的时候，见完以后怎么办，主先很快的找，就是要举行复兴会，就请以斯拉来。以斯拉是一个祭司，他也是个文士，在被掳的地方的时候，他已经翻译很多旧约的事情，那时候他用亚兰文，以后回来就希伯来文，就是翻译的时候能够把这个圣经翻译的时候，那一天他们就在那边举行了8章9章里面7天退休会，在那边，所以叫做那个时候叫做什么节啊，在那边的话就是祝盆节的时候，就那边7天，所有的人都召集在大广场上面，就跟他们讲，你以斯拉就跟你心里说，你把他召集起来，我们一起来读经7天嘛，在那边。这个开始的时候，那边圣经讲了一句话说，从这个进迦南之地约书亚到现在几百年下来，他们没有过有这样子的。你看他们发扬到这程度，神的恩典都不记得。哇，那个7天里面，以斯拉讲，来，我们分组，这些人分着这一组，这一组，圣经跟他们先跟他讲，因为你讲清楚了，你明白了圣经的意思了，好，那你就跟百姓们讲，百姓们的层次也不一样，最低的连听都听不懂，翻译，把它翻译好，叫他们点头明白，我们要相信。到了一个高潮的，所有的人都是人罪悔改，签名，所有的人从祭司上面到现在签名的话，给你看一下，上面祭司签名的有80个人，签名的话就是立志说我愿意回到神面前，不要做一个随随便便的啊，基督徒的。我也签过一次名，在崔志伟大二的时候，在阳明山上面，美国回来的神学毕业的这个牧师啊，就说第二天的时候，我要你们听见以赛亚呼召的时候，高高在上的以赛亚现在说，我能差遣谁，谁愿意为我去，你们愿意去吗，要去，信封给你，信给你，你签的名字上面说你自己在这一年冬季的时候，今年早的时候你对神说话，我把你签完以后收回来，我也签了，到现在已经40几年了，他会来，你下山的时候我就发给你，发回给你，按你纪念说你与神的立约，你是不是做到底了，永不悔改，愿意服侍到现在，求神帮助我们。所以到这个的时候，我讲经大会的时候，所有的人都听见了，我怎么办呢，回来我们要归向神，把荣耀归给他，下去以后就签名了，以后就奉献大典，奉献大典的时候他们就分作两个一半一半的，一半从这边右边上去，一半从左边上去， 在这里圣殿的这个地方，他们在那边一起赞美荣耀。我们这次看见以色列已经成了这个工作，所以到最后的时候就讲说，我回去了。以色列回去了，回到波斯的时候有10年的时间，再回来之后人心不顾不改，所有的人又变成又成为一个什么时候那个东西是外面已经有里面的方向。你如果读马拉基书的话，你看到或者是那个念哈该书的那些人住在自己家里面有天花板的神殿就是方向，而且献祭啊奉献啊什么都没有。有时有的献祭的时候神说你要有用那个完全没有瑕疵的羊箱子，现在是眼睛瞎的腿瞎的都献到教堂来，神说我不要你们这些虚己为自己的人，我不要。甚至有人在外面，你把那个圣殿里面把它关掉，不让他们进来，因为这些人是虚伪敬拜我。哎，心里面没有讲的，你去看的时候你心里中间你会看到这些对百姓的教训，甚至这些祭司最高的除去恶习的时候就是说这些人翻脸就说娶太太娶外国人的太太，与外国人还有欺负你幼年结婚的妻子，幼年的妻子出来叫我去，这些你比10年以后回来他们身上全部把这些东西整理掉。教会中间有不好的缺陷的什么东西我们要讲清楚，做领袖的有勇敢讲起来，你不听话头发把你抓起来头发都拔掉了。这里面也讲我们没有那么凶啊，美国你这样子的话我告你，你这样子对我，甚至你讲话就是轻轻的。我很欣赏我们教会的领袖，他们是如实安安静静心心可以轻轻的，不像我一样看不惯我就是讲你讲清楚不是就在这里。神的兴起的领袖是他看为良善温柔训诲有勇气，而且能够团结所有的人来服侍神。我不要把这个福气留给外面的人，我祷告的时候神啊求你兴起的时候我们这里是做长子的已经在这服侍，你兴起他不要把长子的名分留到外面去。主啊在这求你帮助教会必须有人自己从这里长大来领导，不要把长子的名分弄掉，等到你以后像这个不听话的这个人送掉了你再哭泣你再去领没有了，神已经给了雅各了。一早下去我们求神帮助我们，我们服侍的时候是从神里亲自的来领受，不是别人家给我爱压力给你提议给你，你要在神面前真正的进食祷告求神帮助我看见我前面所要服侍的意向完全是为了你。我有份主耶稣，我有份，我已经是得救蒙恩的人，与我所得救的恩相称，我有份在你的国度里面，我有权，我有愿意一起，而且我要求你纪念。到最后的时候我们可以看出来约利米10年回来以后的教会又在什么地方翻扬，不是城墙，不是那些那边门没有钉好，是在里面人心没有帮助人，没有城墙，随意的做你喜欢做的事情。我就是这样子，我愿意我服侍的时候就照我的意思吧，或者我愿意做的时候我就是要领这一群的人跟我的在神里面的进行常常祷告，神啊我所做的是不合你的心意，是不是你愿意这样子服侍，愿意这样子做，我愿意做，我愿意做。我们求神帮助我们，特别是上面做祭司的也是要带头领错。那你就说那时候他们的习俗跟我们不一样，那时候他们娶外邦人实在是因为没有人太少了娶不到老婆，不是的。神跟你说你所以能够要立，马拉基说只有一个是要立定你的后裔能够纯洁真正成为神的后裔，没有掺杂在里面，真的在那里 到现在我们都娶美国人了，我们连黑人都通都可以，就是保罗先生说信与不信不能同父一儿，你们不能，只有信。我跟女儿也讲，信徒你可以，你可以跟美国人、韩国人，还有甚至一些我们不懂的，你都可以，但是要真正在主里面是合乎神心意的，我们的意思。否则这个恩典跟救恩不能普及全世界。所以犹太人是最自私的，当他们领受神的祝福，你是神的选民，你把这个救恩又从亚伯拉罕分给全世界，他们就握在那里，领受这群小群一起的，他们还在那里等弥赛亚来了，我们就说已经来了，耶稣基督替我们做了救赎。希伯来书的时候说，耶稣基督超越过摩西、亚伦，超越过更多的这些知识、知识各样的知识，他都有。他甚至是借着末日启示的证词，现在已经坐在神的右边来服侍我们。你是记得吗？你心里在这里看到你在领导、在组织顺服中间，你也看到更高的境界，到希伯来书的时候，那时候是基督徒出来的，你是不是要再回到你这个在犹太教里面去？没有，那时候你看到那个整个的耶稣在那边哭泣的时候，那时候西律王建的那个讨犹太人喜欢的圣殿大的不得了啊，甚至耶稣的门徒跟他讲，主耶稣你看看我们那个圣殿是怎么样。耶稣说，我告诉你，时候将到，这里一块石头也不留在石头之上，我多次的愿意你们像小鸡一样的活在我底下，你们不肯，你们的家成为翻船，你们的家要成为仇敌所攻击的。耶路撒冷到现在没有了，我们去旅游的时候上去的时候，上面盖的是金顶圆圆的什么回教堂，这个以撒所奉献的那个地方我也进去看了，手还摸一摸，真的很这个磐石滑滑的，以撒现在不在什么仇敌的手中间，怎么办呢？那时候就叫西城那里的犹太人在那边，哎呀，你看到了，鞠躬祷告，上面有圣经的字句放在上面，这里头发上面没有念什么，我也不知道。我相信他们在那边哭啊，主啊，你什么时候回来？什么时候我们的圣殿再建立起来？求主来帮助我们，我们心中的 boundary 一定要建立好，不能叫我那个心到外面去。同工会或者祷告会中间一位弟兄讲的很激励的话，我们除了自己现在最劳气的人，要把神把子女带到神面前，更重要的我们要做榜样。很多现在年轻人，我们都为他祷告，为他们的灵命祷告，你要从小的开始带领他们，小初中高中带到神面前，你有你的规矩，你有你的 boundary， 你要告诉他们神愿意你做这个工作，愿意读经祷告应该怎么样。其他的活动各样方面，如果你是把这些东西推到你儿子身上，看到他不来服侍，是你的罪，不讨神的喜悦。你一定要来告诉他们 This is my boundary。 所以到了安息日的时候，有 boundary 的时候，城门到了太阳出来了才开，太阳一下山关了门，把这些闲杂的没有这些的全部赶到外面去，那些卖鱼的做生意的到外面去，说门关了我就在外面睡觉，白天我再进去，你信不信？说把他们赶走，这些人在我们圣殿神圣的地方不能有这些闲杂的。我们有很多也有闲杂的进入教会，我们要感谢神，我们必须自己在神里面立志，我们不能与他有沟通，但帮助他能够信主，成为圣洁的国民，祭司的国度，就是神在他恢复他永远荣耀计划中间的，从旧约神的圣殿的建立到新约的教会成立这一条线，求神帮助我们，先帮我们接头祷告。 天父，我们感谢赞美你，在新的一年开始的时候，我们愿意来学习你自己的话。我们叫我们自己能够借着尼希米记，很简单，只有13章可以看完，希伯来书比较长一点，我们能够对着看，帮助我们在新一年里面，在你的话语中间能够领受的多，而且愿意说，这是对我有份，神的国度对我有份，神的国度对我有权利义务来服侍来参与，神要纪念。所以你心里的祷告中间所说，神啊，我为你所做的这些事，为建这个这个圣殿的所有的外墙，还有这些门户，就求你纪念，愿你的恩手能够施恩在你的子民身上。摩西也一样的祷告，神啊，求你纪念我所做所做的功，神会纪念你所付出的，别人没有看见的，我们都在暗中发散，直到你的时候，愿主恢复你自己的国度，愿你的国降临，愿你的旨意行在地上，如同行在天上。天父，我们谢谢你，在新的一年的时候，我们愿意重新